Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Bait Darling Show. It's a two-man show today. Just Nate and Sam, and here they are.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Nate.
How's it going?
It's swell.
You know, you don't need a room full of people to do a podcast. You can just have a couple of people.
Honestly, sometimes one person's enough.
So, that's what Rush Limbaugh does.
That's what he does. Look, he's been doing it for a long time.
Mr. Snurdly, you're in the other room. What are you doing?
When you run out of things to say, you say,
Megadiddos. Megadiddos. Now, I may take some phone calls from people who just agree with me.
I've just encapsulated the Rush Limbaugh
well
show
done.
For you.
Well done. Nailed it.
Oh, my God. Can you believe Christmas is so close? It is, today is the 19th of December as this show is dropping.
Man, it sneaks up on you.
I know. The year has gone by. Coming up at the end, coming up on Christmas Eve, we have the music show. It's going to be
the best.
The music picks from staffers here on the Nate Darling Show.
And I'm going to give you the Sam Platt's promise. You're not just going to get the same shit you hear on the small town local radio.
Mm-mm.
You're going to get some good, fresh, oh, I forgot about that one. Or I wish I heard this one because that's really funny and clever and still related to the cheer of Christmas time.
Yeah, and you're also not going to get the same tried and true bullshit on your Sirius XM or whatever. It's going to be
Pandora,
songs.
Turn off the Pandora.
Yeah. No Pandora. No need. And it's going to be like 60 to 90 minutes of music. And if you want to stack them together and just be all Christmassy, last year's show, still on the website. Every show is still on the website. There's a search
Brilliant.
Box. You can search by show number. If you just want the Christmas show, you just search Christmas. It'll come right up. You can download it, and it's free. Every show we've done, free.
There you go, baby.
This is show 263, by the way.
That's a lot of free.
That's a lot of free. At about an hour each, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to listen, if you want to do. So thanks to all of you who do. We do appreciate it. Coming up on the show today, what do you call her vagina? The gals over at Jezebel looked into that. We'll look into it as well. We'll look right into her vagina.
We're literally looking into it.
We're going to look into her vagina. Also, a 21-year-old sorority girl celebrates her birthday with a cake that, probably a bad idea. We'll talk about that. And a man puts an ad on Craigslist because he just wants to get rid of his ex-wife's shit. Literally.
Oh, no.
It's kind of magical and awesome.
I mean,
you don't understand the magic of having an ex-wife.
She wore Depends, and she just leaves all the Depends on the floor.
No. It's her stupid shit.
Okay, good. Because I saw an episode of Hoarders that I couldn't sleep at night. Good God. It was that cat lady. She was the cat lady with all the cats, and she wondered why her cats were dead. And when her relatives came to help her, they found a pile of stale old Depends full of shit.
Eee.
And dead cats buried within them.
Ah.
That's real life, folks. Don't be a hoarder. It's disgusting.
That's bad life.
Oh, my God.
That's bad touch, Sam.
Sorry about that.
You touched my mind's eye with bad touch.
Let me just poke you in the mind's eye.
It's bad touch with the mind's eye.
Squirt my psychic lemon into your mind's eye.
Oh, so what do you have planned for Christmas coming up? I mean,
well, I'm going to tell you, Nate. I'm looking forward to drinking eggnog and brandy. Clinking my God Yule glasses with my Swedish kin.
Here you go.
And it's going to be a small little thing. My grandparents are taking the train up to Reno.
Okay.
Which is where my beloved Aunt Sue and Uncle Dan live.
So you're going to be Christmasing in Reno?
No. Actually, part of me wishes we were.
Okay.
Because get that white Christmas that I sincerely do miss.
Sure, and the gambling.
You know, and the gambling.
And the pawn shops.
and the homeless and all that joy. Anyhow, we're going to be at my mother and father's. It's going to be me, my brother, his wife, my eldest sister and her husband, And it's going to be a nice little small town, small home, family Christmas.
That sounds great.
How about you, Nate? What's cracking? You're going to see your pops, right?
I am going to see my dad in Vermont. I have a red eye on the 23rd.
So you're not just dreaming of a white Christmas. You're going to get one.
Yeah. They've got snow there. A few years ago, it was kind of brown. Okay. Right up until, because that'll happen every now and then. But
right.
They do have snow. As we're recording this, my dad just had a heart test today.
That's right.
Cardiac catheterization. And the good news was they didn't do anything other than the test. They went in, looked around, and said, medication. You'll be good.
Okay.
So that was a pretty big relief on that.
Anytime someone needs to put something inside your heart and look around,
well,
it's kind of a scary deal.
It is. This is kind of it's an outpatient procedure. He had it in the morning, uh-huh. And he was home by 5 p.m.
That's impressive.
It's
God bless the miracle modern miracle.
I've actually shot video of this happening because I'm in. Past jobs, I worked. One of the things
that
is
Dr. Oz.
When I was a commercial producer, I did a minute long commercial every month for the local hospital.
Okay.
CVPH, Champlain Valley Physicians Hospital. Mm. And that was one of the things that I shot was someone getting a cardiac catheterization. And what they do is they pick one side of your groin. It sounds terrible.
Yes, it does.
But they go into an artery down in your groin.
Ah!
And it goes up through. You don't really feel anything, but it goes up through, and they can go all the way up into your heart
I'm going to throw up and pass
out. Think how amazing that is.
It's incredible and disturbing.
But to do that, and then they don't have to like...
No cutting open, no stopping
right.
Your beating heart.
Exactly. So when they go in...
Who was the first one to just give it a go?
God, I don't know. I'm sure there was some experimentation.
Go ahead. Go up in my groin with that thing.
Well, if the...
Go ahead and stick it up into my heart. We'll be all right.
If the option is give that a try, or we're going to have to crack all of your ribs open to get into your... Because that's the open heart part.
If you're going to tell me that I'm likely going to die either way, maybe I'll go ahead and say, okay, for the betterment of the future sufferers of
right,
this disease.
But now that we know that it's not really a big deal to do it, it's not really a big
it's
deal
not
to
a
do
big
it.
Deal.
So
I'm glad your pops is okay.
Yeah, I woke up, his appointment was at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
So roughly the same time.
That's not
and
really.
I could not fall back asleep. I just sat.
You're
up
a working man. You had to go manage a freaking. You had to take care of business today.
Yeah, and then we came back here and recorded three podcasts.
You know we're gonna sleep good tonight.
By the time we finish this, and I break everything down, my day will have started at 4:30 in the morning and ended at 9:30 at night.
God bless you, Nate, darling.
So that was it. But hey, good news. And I talked to him. I talked to him on the phone before I came home. So that was good. Second Christmas without my mom since my mom passed away, and today would have been her birthday too,
Nate.
So that's always it. You know, you sort of
can
get
you go
past
and,
that.
I need you to go ahead and hit that Kareem button for me.
Oh, hold on. Let me see.
Go
if,
ahead and
let me see if this works again.
Crack the whip on me, please.
Oh, hold on. Let's see.
Right now,
Kareem alarm.
I'm psychically bent over. Oh! One more time. I deserve one more.
Oh, why is that?
From when I did that mom joke right after your mom died.
You didn't know. It's not a big deal.
I still suffer, and now it's her birthday.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a toast to your mom later.
Well, here's the thing about birthdays in my family. They were never a big deal.
Okay.
Christmas was always the biggest deal for my mom, and my mom worked in a bank right up until she had the stroke that disabled her. And so she had a Christmas club. Every year there was the family Christmas. It's a savings account that you put a certain amount in every month. And that's the way you teach kids to save for Christmas and so on and so forth. So
I had your mother to teach me that.
So I had a Christmas club that I would save into, and she would have the Christmas club that she would put part of her pay into every couple weeks. And so Christmas was always the big holiday.
It's extravagant.
Yeah, it was the one time of the year when there was the extravagance. Because my parents both grew up on small farms. They both grew up relatively poor. My mom was the youngest of nine kids. She was the first one to go to high school.
Wow, and she was the youngest.
Right. My dad is the middle of five kids, and they also dairy farm and, you know, grew up poor. I mean,
just trying to make ends meet, take care of the
cattle. There were people more poor, but there were people less poor. And, right. You know, that's why I was like, oh, you know, we grew up really poor.
Let me tell you about it.
It's not a contest.
It's not a contest. That's some tough living, though. That's the American way. Let's not pretend that the American dream is some perfect, shiny pearl.
So from that was one of the things my mom always did, was she made Christmas a big, big deal. So that's why it's been kind of rough the last couple of years since she's been gone, because even when she had had the stroke and she was still around, but she wasn't really herself, you know, she was still...
You're feeling that hole.
She was still there. Mm. But the last, you know, and especially my dad is especially, because it's very, very different for him. And, you know, again, other people go through the same thing and feel the same thing. So it's not me going, oh my God, look how much worse we have it than everybody else. Just like... When this is the big time of year, this is the big time of year. And, you know, anybody who flies home for Christmas knows if you fly the airlines, fuck all of the airlines, man, because they just brutally rape everybody around the holidays just because they can.
Yeah.
Because they know, oh, we'll just everyone wants to fly. We'll just raise our prices to ridiculous levels. That's why I'm taking a red eye on on the 23rd. I will leave Sacramento just before midnight on the 23rd. This is assuming my flight does not get delayed or diverted like it did last year.
Oh, shit.
When I ended up having to drive to San Jose and fly there. So I will take a red eye to New York, and then I will get on a plane in New York after having breakfast, and I will arrive in Burlington, Vermont at 10:30 a.m. on Christmas Eve. My return trip has me...
That better be a goddamn awesome breakfast. Treat yourself.
My return trip has me getting on a plane on New Year's Eve in Burlington, Vermont, and sometime in the afternoon. I forget exactly what time. And I will be landing
on New Year's
in Sacramento right around 11 p.m.
Just before
on New Year's Eve. And my girlfriend Leslie is going to be picking me up on New Year's Eve, and then we're going to be able to come back and have some champagne, and we're going to do our Christmas presents later, because she's going up to visit her family before the holiday. So I'm like, let's just wait until I get back to do that. But last year was crazy, because it was like, and you remember because you worked with me.
Yeah.
It's like 3:30 in the afternoon. I get this email. Your flight has been delayed
by this much. Control,
and I'm like, well, fuck, I'm not going to make the connection then. And the next connection would put me in on Christmas Eve at 3 in the afternoon, which doesn't sound like a big deal.
But that's like dinner's about ready. You know, Christmas Eve, people start eating early.
Well,
don't forget,
also, when I land in Burlington, I still have a two-hour drive to get to my dad's house.
Oh, man.
It's not like I'm right there. It's a two-hour drive.
Uh-huh.
So I get on the phone with them, and JetBlue is very good about it, and they move me to, okay, well, we can fly you out of San Jose, and you'll get there, you'll make your connection. I'm like, great. And then I'm like, shit, how do I get to San Jose? And I start asking people, but it's the 23rd of December.
Who wants to give me a ride to San Jose?
And anybody who could have, and for anybody listening around the country who or around the world who doesn't know, from Sacramento to San Jose is a two-hour drive one way.
Mm-hmm. That's 4 hours.
So it's a four-hour return trip. So anybody was like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Sure, 4 hours out of my New Year's Eve.
This was the 23rd.
This was
the 23rd.
Okay. A little bit more grace.
But anybody who could have done it, the people who were like, there were some people who were like, oh, I would have totally done that. They were all somewhere else. So I'm like, oh, shit. So then I'm like, well, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is to take my own car and park it there. Fine, I'll go and do that. And I'm like, I'm going to park in the economy lot. Here's the problem. The economy lot in San Jose is $20 a day. So,
ouch!
It was $120 to park
your car.
To park my car, $120. And then
talk about rape. Bend over, pull the butt cheeks out.
And then, so I get back just before 11 again. Same flight schedule. I get back just before 11 to San Jose, and then I get to my car, and I've got a 2-hour drive back.
So
I got back January 1st at 1 a.m.
Oh, that's the worst, because you're so close.
I drove.
It would have been better to make it like at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and last year, here's the worst part. Because I was scrambling around to get stuff out, you know when you take stuff out of your pockets and you put it places and you sort of lose track of stuff?
Of course.
So I'm getting on this. I'm in the shuttle bus lot, and I'm getting stuff out of the car, and I'm getting everything organized, and I get my stuff together, and I get over to the shuttle bus stop, and I get on the shuttle bus, and we're riding around, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I need my wallet. I hit my pant leg because I need my wallet.
You spanked yourself.
Because I'm like, I'm going to need my wallet because I keep it in my front pocket. I'm going to need my wallet because I'm going to need my ID. Where's my wallet? Where's my fucking wallet? And I start panicking.
Someone stole this guy's wallet.
I start panicking. And so I'm like patting myself down, like, where's my wallet? What's going on
That's
with my wallet?
Oh,
and I'm like, oh my God, I must have left my wallet in my car. What's going on with my wallet? And the bus driver was really super cool. He goes, don't worry about it. We'll loop around.
Wow.
Because he just drives there. Well, he just drives a loop anyway. It wasn't a big deal to him. So
don't diminish the Christmas miracle here.
So we
Nate.
Go back. We
don't
go,
do that.
Here's the. So I'm like, how the fuck am I getting on the plane? How am I going to get on the fucking plane?
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that I don't have any money for anything.
Okay, just...
How am I going to get on the plane?
Just walk and hitchhike your way.
So I go back to the car. It's not in the car. Because I'm thinking I dropped it somewhere in there. So I'm like, fuck, I don't know. So I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? So I go back, and I get back on the bus. He held the bus there for me. That was the nice thing. So he holds the bus. I get back on the bus. I'm like, what? I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. And I'm just sitting there. All the colors drain from my face.
Yeah.
I'm like in a panic state.
Yeah.
Because I don't have my wallet. I don't have my ID. I don't have my credit cards. I don't have anything except a boarding pass.
You might be a goddamn terrorist. They might make you listen to Justin Bieber.
But I'm like,
whip you.
I don't know. So finally, I just go and I start shuffling around in the suitcase. Turns out for some asshole reason, I had taken some last minute stuff into and out of my suitcase and organized it, and I put my wallet in my suitcase.
So it's one of those moments where you're relieved, but you're also so full of like self-hatred.
I'm the world's biggest asshole, is all I'm thinking. Mm. And I was just so grateful to the guy.
Yeah.
So went home, came back, and it didn't occur to me until I'm on the shuttle bus again. And you get on the shuttle bus, and it's like, first stop is the rental cars. And I'm like, motherfucker, I should have rented a car one way.
Oh, no. Now you're paying parking.
But nobody at any point in the time that I was home,
you're looking for a ride? Why don't you just rent a car?
Nobody on the 23rd was like, well, why don't you look into renting a car one way? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody. So
lesson learned. So everyone take heed.
So what I did, I'm like, oh, let me see what would happen if I tried to do it. And it was going to be like, because I tried to do a booking, go, oh, how much would it be if I wanted to go one way? And it would have been like $60, which is not cheap by any means.
But it's better than 120.
It's better than 120.
Okay.
So
let's do our math.
That was last year. So this year is going to be better.
Yes. Okay.
Long story. I told that story last year. But so anyway, we mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, I think, that Billy Corgan and Anderson Cooper have the lamest feud going in
this
the history
whole
kitty of celebrity.
Cat, what? Kitty cat feud?
Yeah. Well, Billy Corgan went on HuffPost Live to explain it.
Until I retorted, I did probably 10 interviews. And of the 10 interviews that I did, 7 brought up the Anderson Cooper thing on me. And of the 7 media that brought it up, 5 didn't know that it was for a charity magazine.
Right.
All they had read was the headline. So I'm answering a supposition that's not real. Then I have to correct the supposition. And then I attack in reverse. And then they run the attack. without clarifying the supposition. You don't understand? So it's dumb world.
So, I mean, for that, I call
it idiot world.
Well, so let's talk about the Anderson Cooper thing for a second. Sure. You know, for those who don't know Anderson Cooper, he took Porsche Chicago, and, you know, you were on the cover of Porsche Chicago. And
why doesn't the Huffington Post hire Americans?
I can't even listen to her voice anymore.
Yeah, we talked about it before. Anyway, yeah,
Anderson. I feel like your freaking GPS is yelling at me, and I'm getting anxious.
Yeah, well, let me see if I can play this. The
you have a filter that
because tonight I'm happy to report that frontman Billy Corgan is back and edgier than ever on the cover of Pause Chicago magazine. Now I don't know if you can read the sub headline there. It says Billy Corgan's Siamese Dream. Well played, Paul of Chicago. Well played. Now, this is a kind of jarring event for a couple reasons. One being that it made us Google what else Billy Corgan has been up to. And apparently just last year, he was in a commercial for a Chicago furniture store.
Wait! That's a Walter E. Smith chair.
Walter E. Smith.
So perhaps Billy Corgan is, I don't know, offers alternative rocker, but I think maybe there's more to this. Maybe he's being ironic, or maybe when the cool rock stars start doing less rock starry things, it kind of makes us face our own mortality. See, I want REM to stay just the way I know and love them. I don't want Everybody Hurts to suddenly be used in an Excedrin commercial. I don't ever want to see a product called Eddie Vedder's Prune Jam. And I want to see neither Stephen Malkmus nor Tom York on the cover of AARP magazine.
So that was Anderson Cooper being a dick. Because Billy Corgan was doing charity work.
Yeah. And maybe he knew someone in the furniture business and just wanted to do a nice thing.
It was a cheesy wrestling commercial. Because the guy was about to smash somebody with a chair, and he's like, hold on, that's this chair.
That's freaking hilarious.
It was funny.
Dude, that's grunge. That's straight. Okay.
You know what's not funny? The photograph of a sorority girl from the University of Maryland celebrating her 21st birthday with a fun alcohol-themed cake piled with mini bottles of Blue Moon, terrible wine, and adorned with the inscription, "Suck a nigga dick." That's right. It actually said that on the bottom of the cake that they made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The racist cake, allegedly inspired by a 3-6 Mafia track of the same name, and definitely not by the Lil Wayne line, "Suck a nigga dick for some truck fit." Yeah, it's already earned condemnation from the school's Greek life department, the Black Student Union, and even the Delta Gamma sorority. See, the DGs threw the original poster of the photo under a bus in a Facebook post that attempted to distance them from the hashtag "Suck a nigga dick gate" with as much haste as possible, saying, "We've become aware of the unacceptable Instagram post by a member of our chapter. The fraternity volunteers and staff are working with our chapter at the University of Maryland at this time to hold this member accountable. Delta Gamma Fraternity is a dynamic organization committed to diversity and does not discriminate on the basis of race, religious affiliation, color, creed, national origin, sexual orientation, marital status, or physical disability. All efforts are in place to guarantee those selected for membership are committed to living our values. Delta Gamma stands for highest ideals of friendship, promoting cultural and educational interests, a true sense of social responsibility, and developing the best qualities of character."
What I hear is, "Sweet Lord Jesus, someone's about to stick it in my ass. I'm going to put my tail down between my legs because I'm a little worried and want to say exactly what they want me to hear."
Yeah,
they want to know what they want to hear.
The Instagram photo had 77 likes when the most shared screenshot was taken. Most of them not from members, but allegedly because they, you know, have that social responsibility thing. See, now, incidentally, Delta Gamma at the University of Maryland is the same chapter that gave us Rebecca Cunt Punt Martinson with the email. Remember that one, Sam?
Yeah, wasn't the actor from the Boardwalk Empire as well as he did that reading. That was epic.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can find that very, very quickly.
What's this guy's name? He played Zod in the latest Man of Steel movie, and he plays the CIA agent from Boardwalk Empire. I don't know his name.
I should know it, and it's escaping.
But he's so hard. You know, he's such a hard character, and everything he says is so like cold.
The problem
serious.
Here's the problem. When you look up Cunt Punt on YouTube, you get a lot of literal things about that.
So it's like America's Funniest Home Videos except with vaginas instead of balls.
Yeah, it's It's a little. Let me see. Here's one. Let's see if we can get the right one. The email.
If you just open this like I told you to, tie yourself down to whatever chair you're sitting in, because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride.
Oh, hold on. Here's an abbreviated read by Gilbert Gottfried.
I wanted to hear him read it. It's so good. Go ahead and abbreviate.
Well, it's Gilbert Gottfried. He's going to read it for us. Someday. I didn't read...
If you just open this like I told you to, tie yourself down to whatever chair you're sitting in, because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride. We have been fucking up people literally being so fucking awkward and so fucking boring.
All I see is Iago yelling at
in
Jafar.
The face right now so that I don't have to fucking find you on campus and do it myself. I do not give a flying fuck, and Sigma Nu does not give a flying fuck about how much you fucking love to talk to your sisters. You have 361 days
this is a real
out of
email,
the fucking year.
Yes.
I fucking repeat, this week is about fostering relationships. If you are...
That's Gilbert Gottfried. Here's Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon is the actor you're thinking of.
Yes.
If you just open this, like I told...
Let me skip ahead.
Well, you shouldn't be post-gaming out of the frats. I don't give a fuck if your boyfriend's in it. You don't go! You don't go! And you especially do fucking not convince other girls to leave with you.
Rebecca!
You stay in your whiny little bitch voice to your computer screen. I've been cheering on our sports team at all the sports. Doesn't that count for something? No, you stupid fucking asshats! It fucking doesn't! Do you wanna know fucking why? Doesn't count because you've been fucking up at sober fucking events too!
So that's it's the same organization.
But it's an email coming from a young woman at a frat, some Greek
sorority. Yeah, they were literally being so fucking awkward. So same place, but yeah, I'm sure that went fine. Now we promised this earlier. A dude on Craigslist wants to get rid of his ex-wife's stupid Christmas shit.
Okay, yeah, please fill me in.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. It's the season to be jolly and to post ads on Craigslist complaining about the crap your ex left behind when they dumped you. Are you in the market for stupid Christmas shit? Do you have a need to fill your home with pointless Christmas-themed dishes and mugs that can literally only be used for one part of the year? Unless you want to look like a total asshole and bust them out for a 4th of July party. But hey, I'm not judging you and your shitty use of non-seasonal decorative plates.
See, I support that, actually.
So here's the ad itself. Here we have some stupid Christmas shit. They're pretty ugly, but my ex-wife really liked them. So much so that just like me, she left them behind.
Oh!
He goes on, her loss is your gain. Four mugs for hot cocoa. Four mugs for hot cocoa when you and the important people in your life are gathered around the fire log channel in your ugly sweaters complaining about the mild Vancouver winters.
I hope there are photographs in this Craigslist post.
I don't see them any. Three plates so that while you are all enjoying your cocoa, three of you can also enjoy cookies while making sure the second born still knows he was never wanted. Need to go ASAP, otherwise they get used for target practice with my buddy's Glock.
Wow.
That's actually it. There is a photo. It's three festive plates and four mugs. That's it. It's nothing exciting. That's it. That's all it is.
That is disappointing.
First comment, to be fair, that is some stupid looking shit.
It looks like Dollar Tree Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. Okay. But I don't know why you put that on Craigslist, but he did. All right, so Olivia Munn, you know Olivia Munn. She came to prominence on the G4 network with like video games.
Oh, yes.
She's on the newsroom. She's in a lot of different things now. Mm-hmm. Well, she is dating Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. And she went on the Andy Cohen show, Watch What Happens Live. And he asked her some probing questions as only a gay talk show host can.
It's Olivia Munn's first time in the clubhouse. Here's what. To celebrate, it's time for her to plead the fifth, everybody. Here we go. Woo! I have three questions for you. Woo! You may plead the fifth to only one. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers quarterback, is having a great season. Many people say he's playing so well because of you, his girlfriend. Do you have sex on game days?
Oh, that's a good one. It is a good one. Well, I will say that all the good luck charms are on the field and in the stands, so it has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
And no, we don't. Not on game day.
Not on game. No sex on game day.
There's not a rule, but it's like it just doesn't happen because there's other things to focus on.
If he plays well, do you have sex after the game?
Depends on how late the game is.
Okay.
But wait, can you have sex the night before? Is that game day?
There's no rules, by the way. There's no rules.
Right.
It just doesn't happen usually because there's a lot to do.
I don't
But
have
usually,
sex
yes. I try to have sex as much as I can.
Okay.
I don't have sex before Restaurant Wars.
You don't have sex before Restaurant Wars. That's hilarious. Okay. Okay. On the dating tip, name one celebrity we would be surprised to learn that you hooked up with.
Plead the fifth.
Okay. Very good.
Click on that one.
Okay. There are rumors that you and Aaron Sorkin are at loggerheads. Don't get along. Clear the air. Tell me the truth.
Aaron actually cleared the air for me, and he put out a statement and saying that was completely not true at all. What I think happened was there was a story that was about somebody else on the show, and somehow it got translated that it was me. But when it got out there, Aaron was very quick and came to my defense and said it wasn't true at all, because he's like a big brother to me.
Very good. Well done. I like it.
So she has sex whenever she can. So
yes,
good, good. So I think we have an answer for that.
And how was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the.
I wish they asked that.
Yeah, it would be good. So the thing would be hold on. I have it's right here. It's right here. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
That's the right order.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this right now.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool.
All right, first up in cooler tool, Sam. Olivia Munn.
Cool, baby, she's so cool.
Oh yeah, she's totally cool. Next in cooler tool, honest advertising. You know, the Christmas shit.
No, that specifically was Tool. And you know, propaganda has worked for so long, it's not gonna stop now. I'm gonna have to go ahead and say Tool.
Nah, it's cool. It's absolutely cool. And finally, in cooler tools, these are really quick with two people.
Okay.
Cake.
We're talking about the band. We're talking about the edible.
The edible cake.
Well, to those who are gluten intolerant and perhaps calorie conscientious, obviously that's not the coolest thing. But I'm struggling here, Nate, because the American definition of cake has been tainted by those Safeway replacements that used to be what grandmother made. My grandmother's wine cake bunt can kick fucking Safeway's.
Her what now?
She makes a bunt cake.
Oh, okay.
Not a cunt bunt, a bunt cake. And it's using wine, and it's fucking fantastic. That's cool.
Okay.
We're going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Safeway cake with too much shitty frosting is Tool.
Cakes have gone horribly awry.
Yeah.
Horribly awry. You can't have a cake with the wine bottles in it and the N-word on it.
No.
No, that's Tool. It's absolutely Tool. That's cooler Tool. Now, I promised earlier that we would get to this Jezebel article titled, My Neck, My Gash, Men Don't Know What to Call Your Vagina, Let's Help.
My neck, my gash.
Yeah.
My neck, my
all right.
Gash.
She writes, there comes a time between a person and another person when that vagina is going to need to be addressed. Out loud. Not in the clinical sense, but in a romantic or sexual sense. It seems some guys aren't sure how to proceed, at least according to one of their spokes magazines, so let's help them out. See, over at Maxim, there's a piece called What to Call Her Lady Parts. We're given a premise...
The naughty bits.
Yeah, a premise that relatable for many men from author Kara Hessel, who writes, "Nothing ruins a romantic moment quite like the word vagina." Fortunately, there are many, many alternative terms out there that can be deployed better. In most cases, effect. You've got to know your audience to know which phrase to use. But there are a few hard and fast rules. For instance, never ask to pet her kitty if she does not, in fact, own a cat. In an attempt to help you overcome, to become a more cunning linguist, we've curated a list of euphemisms you can choose from. A word of warning, she'll probably hate whichever one you choose.
Right.
Here's the list of alternatives.
You can't win.
Well, here's the list of alternatives from Maxim. Cooter.
That's preferable to vagina.
Well, it's different. Clam.
All of these are dirty and offensive to me, even.
Beaver.
Okay, this is a joke article.
Coos.
Never heard that.
Vajayjay.
That's just lazy.
Muff. See you next Tuesday.
What?
Trim, pussy, snatch, fanny, box.
What's up with see you next Tuesday? What's up with that?
It's spelling out cunt.
I'm not clever enough for that.
By the way, she's going to hate whichever one you choose from that if you pick anything from the list except for pussy. For advanced lovers, cunt is an option, but it comes with caveats. More on that in a minute. Seriously, why are there no good words for vagina when it comes to sex times? There are a couple of other options for penis, dick, cock. Both work just fine. And if cock is too much, as it certainly is for some men, according to an informal poll I conducted, it's not because anyone is going to think the woman is creepy. Here's a theory. Too many vagina descriptors are, in fact, creepy or gross sounding. Consider all of the aforementioned.
Beaver, muff.
Well, beaver's funny, I think.
It's nothing I would want to put in my mouth, that's for sure.
Yeah, including ones that involve food, gashes, and slits. Hatchet wound? Gash? No.
I think those are the best ones.
Really? You think hatchet wound is the best?
Those are the best ones. Let me help mend your hatchet wound.
I'm still going to stick before it gets infected. I'm still going to... Now, pussy...
Do you want me to suck the poison out?
I think pussy is probably the best. Isolate that. But beaver, I think, works.
You're cat man, Nate.
I think beaver works, too. Yeah. Meanwhile, the various words a woman could utter in place of penis if she felt like becoming an amateur erotic writer in the bedroom.
As you list these off, I'm going to say if I think that they're offensive or not.
Let's see. Rod.
I don't like it.
Let's see. They don't really list... Yeah.
Are any of them like admirable?
Oh, hold on. They tend to celebrate the penis's girth, hardness, and length. There's hardness, manhood, and even member and staff. That are
I don't like any of those.
Those are romance novels. let's see. they go through the whole thing. But here are some of the options. This Jezebel writer pulled two groups, a handful of women and a handful of men in their late 20s to mid-30s, and asked them what they call a vagina or wish a vagina to be called in a sexual scenario. The conclusion was the same.
Really?
Pussy. And cunt, depending.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think they lack imagination.
Well, that's what... well, look, you're talking about sexy time. Yeah. Do you really want an odd Fellini-esque...
I'm an artist, bro. I'm going to get poetic all up on that shit.
Are you?
I'm going to paint a picture you've never seen before.
All right. Well, the women across the board felt that pussy, imperfect though it is the default. Everything else was too gross or too porny. The one woman said pussy felt straight out of Playboy 1975. It was still the best choice out there. Ultimately, they felt there was no good word, really, and when they tried to think of unique alternatives, this is where you come in.
Hey-o.
These are kind of terrible.
I come in.
Here's what they came up with for creative. Let's see if you like any of these. Crotch boob.
No, that's awful.
Tiger.
Okay, it's better than pussy.
Opening.
That's too anatomically correct.
Core.
That's weak.
Innermost.
You're getting there. I can celebrate that.
Bagel.
What the fuck?
Dim sum.
No! You're going to ruin dim sum for me?
What about delicious hamburger?
You just leave it at delicious. Would you like me to go get some of your delicious? You want me to? Let's keep it simple, folks. I think she would appreciate being called delicious. Who wouldn't? Come on.
One woman realized she'd been poisoned by romance novels. Another was just really hungry.
Bagel and hamburger, please.
So basically, what the women said, they kind of like a workaround where you don't refer to it directly. Just do stuff that feels good and or dodge the descriptor. Rather than say, your muff is so wet, one woman advised to simply say, you're so wet.
You know what? It makes sense. It feels right.
On a sadder note, they all agreed that it does mean something, that there is no good word. It means that we aren't proud of it, one woman lamented.
Aww.
So, pussy. Vagina isn't sexy, said one woman, and cunt is hostile sometimes. I would shout cunt from the mountaintops before I would ever say flower, said another.
Come on, folks. Your second lips. There's other things you can say that are way more clever and still tasteful.
Yeah. So anyway, pussy is the winner. Cunt is the wild card. It's extremely execution dependent. It should not be attempted by amateurs. All women polled agreed that cunt should only be used by a seasoned linguist who understood the boldness with which it should be undertaken, unless one added, Clive Owen is doing the saying. He could say it and get away with it. Few others.
Why Clive?
I don't know. He's apparently sexy. Oh, if all else fails, you could just ask your lady what she prefers, but this is better done in advance.
Yeah.
Stopping in the mid-moment.
So what do you think about this one? I'm throwing this one out there.
Hey, wait, I can't wait.
Does this work for you?
I can't wait to slide my member into your, hey, what do you want me to call your vagina?
How do you feel about bagel? Oh. You want me to put this in your bagel?
And they end with this. One last thing. It's clit, not clitoris, not like a bean or whatever. Clit.
They're
very clear about.
They like that.
They like that.
And, the men can't hide it when they're erect, right? But let's not act like women don't get erect. Because their clitoris, their clitoris, their clit, whatever you call it.
Right on the clit.
Is also engorged. It's just smaller. And
be afraid of the clit.
I threw this out there and I got chuckles.
This is a Jay and Silent Bob bit.
The clit wiggles.
Is that a children's group?
You know?
I'm just asking.
Girl, you got those clit wiggles going on right now? Am I giving you them clit wiggles?
All right. Well, while we figure out what to call a lady's lady hole, can I yodel down your lady hole?
Ricola!
Your lady, your lady, your lady.
Oh!
Meanwhile, there was a fire. There was a fire, and there was a furry convention going on.
The Chicago Tribune, 19 people were hospitalized at a furry convention in Illinois after what's being called an intentional leak of
furry. What's a furry convention?
Did I get that wrong?
I leaked there. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Officials were called when a strong odor of chlorine
I think they had to evacuate the building and everything. Send the hotel guests along with convention attendees into the cold night, many still dressed in their furry.
We have a lot of costumers out here with big fluffy costumes that'll keep people warm, so at this point, we're not at all worried.
So we've been pulling people into a cuddle to like warm this baby.
No. Thank you. Thank you.
And giving her our jackets and
Thank
blankets.
You. Yes.
We just told Mika what the convention was about. She's
kept everybody warm was the good news. The hotel was contaminated.
Hey,
guests came back
come
inside
back.
At 4 a.m. Police still
come back.
The matter is a criminal investigation.
Could you check on Mika, see if she's okay? She's
what
over
just
there.
Happened there?
Okay, so
what happened at the end there?
So it was on Morning Joe, and there's three people. There's Mika Brzezinski, Joe, and Willie Geist, who's also on the Today Show.
Okay,
and they're talking about it, and Mika starts reading the story. And then Joe starts going, "What's a furry? What's a furry?"
Yeah.
And someone explains to them in their earpiece what a furry is. And they go to the soundbite, and as they're explaining it, Mika gets up, and you see her running down the side of the newsroom away from the desk. She did not like the idea of it, so much so that she ran away from it.
Wow.
It was
like
awesome.
It's people wearing actual animal fur. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, they dressed up as stuffed animals, and then they have sex. That's what furries are.
Is that what that is? I didn't know. I thought people wearing, you know, fur coats, they're all ambitious and they like their fur coats and they hate PETA.
Stupid. I want to talk about vaginas.
Cunts, Nate. Cunts. It's more tasteful.
Yeah, a furry convention is where like-minded people get together to celebrate that. And the soundbite they had from the people, they're dressed up like full-size stuffed animals out in the street in the Chicago winter.
This is real life?
This is real.
Nate, we're what?
This is totally real. So there you go.
You know what? Is it wrong that I'm intrigued?
You know, whatever, man.
Oh, shit. You've just...
whatever.
Oh, shit.
Whatever floats your boat. Whatever you Google when you get home.
Okay.
Just don't let grandma see. All right. So you've heard of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. He's a Republican. He had a little verbal slip of the tongue. Well, not verbal because it was in emails. It was first reported by Madison.com. He confused a couple of words in an undated letter to a Jewish constituent who appears to have previously asked Walker to display a menorah at the Milwaukee County Courthouse in honor of Hanukkah. Walker thanks the man for his letter and happily agrees to the request. But in his valediction, Walker, who is rumored to be considering a presidential bid, makes a notable gaffe. He signs it, "Thank you again, and Molotov. Sincerely, Scott Walker."
Instead of Mazel Tov.
Exactly.
That's fucking hilarious.
he reportedly penned the note when he was the county executive of Milwaukee. Now, Molotov is the generic term used to refer
Molotov
to a Molotov
cocktail
or a similar bottle-based homemade weapon. Mazel Tov, which is what he probably meant to say, is a Hebrew expression of congratulations that translates to good luck.
I think it's adorable, and I think his Jewish counterpart thinks it's adorable, too. Let's not make a scandal out of this one.
Well, Molotov to you, Sam.
If I was a Jew man getting told Molotov, I would crack my ass off.
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of pointing and laughing going on with that. So, yeah, that was happening. All right, let's do a quick Florida Corner for you. And
yes, please.
And move forward with the show. Well, it's going to be quick because one of the articles is offline. Police Stewart man arrested after masturbating outside because mother won't let him watch porn inside. A Stewart man was arrested on exposure of sexual organs charge. That's a big one. After he was seen masturbating in his yard. Anthony Smith, who's 21, told police his mother won't let him watch porn in the house, so instead he goes outside nude and walks around hoping that someone will see him. That's according to the arrest
hoping
affidavit.
Hoping that someone will see him.
I don't understand how that'll work for him, but like I said, it's a very brave Florida quarter. Mom won't let me masturbate. I'm going to go out in the yard nude and see if someone notices. Just going to see if somebody notices. All right, Sam, you love flatulence, right?
I'm fully entertained. I think farts are funny, and I think farts bring freedom.
All right. Well, so does Whoopi Goldberg.
I will not get the shot. I feel like, why do I want to inject something into my skin that's going to make
me... Excuse me.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh!
Breakfast burrito.
Breakfast burrito. It's not like the show's aired live. I appreciate that they kept this on.
You know those breakfast burritos, they kill
us
every day.
They kill you. I tell you.
It was the flu shot.
It was
I told you.
You'd see. Now, I have gotten the flu shot.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You guys got the flu shot?
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I think everyone should get one.
Yeah, thankfully that fart interrupted one of her nitwit co-hosts talking about how she never gets the flu shot because I don't want them injecting that stuff into me and giving me. It's like, okay, you don't understand how science works.
She pushed that one out just to shut her up.
Just to shut her up. It's like you obviously do not understand how science
Whoopi's
works.
Not
lady.
So bad when you don't have to look at her missing eyebrows. Just as an audio clip, she's quite lovely.
She's absolutely lovely when you do it that way. All right, let's wrap this show up, Sam.
Yo, check it out. I said check it out.
Yeah.
Wrapping up the show is what I'm talking about.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right, Sam, have you been around for a Gordy Little article?
Help me out.
Gordy Little is he's a former radio host. He now writes columns for the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh,
explain all about it at the end of the article. Headline, singing the praises of Christmas music, which is appropriate because we have our Christmas music show coming up on Wednesday.
Yep.
Jingle Bells, Silent Night, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and all the rest. Kay and I love Christmas music. As we put up the tree and I watched while Kay hung the tinsel and ornaments, we listened to music of the season. In 10 seconds flat, we were in the holiday mood. We sang loudly, if not precisely on key. I speak for myself in that regard.
Oh, what a douche.
Some of our offspring gifted us last year with 5 musical figures from the Disney collection. They arrived after Christmas, so we packed them away until this time. I had no clue how they worked, but Kay said they had batteries. I used my trusty jeweler's screwdriver to open the compartments and found 15 green batteries, all deader than a doornail. Who knew? Those close to me are fully aware of my fascination with batteries.
What? Hold on.
Yes?
I had a generic battery collection for a while. This is no joke. When you get stuff and it has like those like made in Taiwan, instead of Panasonic it says Penasonic or something like that, and they like rip them off.
Okay.
I had a collection of these strange batteries. I'm not too far off from Gordo's sick world. Go on.
In a flash, I was in the river room retrieving a full package of new batteries.
The river room.
Mm-hmm. When one of the figures, I think it was Goofy, was all charged up, I pushed a tiny button, was delighted to hear a festive song. Directions told us he played 2 different holiday tunes. Fabulous. So far. Kay watched silently and knowingly as I placed the fresh batteries in all the figures. Snoopy, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Daisy. I don't believe Snoopy's a Disney character.
That's not Disney. That's Charles Schulz Peanuts.
Push a button, she urged. That character began to play his instrument, but there was much more. Much, much more. Each of the other characters chimed in to make a Christmas band. Zowie! I was in awe.
Oh, no!
That's right. He actually typed, Zowie, I was in awe.
Who started up their DeLorean and picked this guy up from 1952?
He's still around. Each figure is so designed that it can tell when another is playing and joins in. Like a child opening his gifts on Christmas morning, I pressed and pressed and listened to the Disney band. We walked around with fingers in our hands, testing the distance at which the others could detect them. What great fun! There's a song about being a child at Christmas, and we were instantly transported back to our childhoods. Me in Westchester County and Kay in Saranac Lake. I was lucky to get a jackknife and an orange. That's right, he got a jackknife and an orange for Christmas.
I feel like he watched some episodes of the house, Little Home on the Prairie.
She was delighted when she opened a set of tin Cinderella dishes. As many times as we've heard those holiday classics, we enjoy them again and again as each new season approaches. You can guess that we have almost inexhaustible collection of Christmas music on records, reel-to-reel and cassette tapes, CDs and other media. We'll be playing them and listening and singing and dancing around our tree from now through the 25th. We love the Christmas shows on stage and television as well. The North Country Ballet's Ensemble 29th annual performance of the Nutcracker.
Gordy, cut it out!
Was especially wonderful for us this year.
Stop it, Gordy!
With one of our 37 great-grandchildren as Claire.
37?
Great-grandchildren. We are so very proud of our 10-year-old Juliana de Chavez in that role and all of the other children and adults in this year's sterling production. I can't help but think that Tchaikovsky would have loved it as well.
Make it stop.
If you stop at our little house, get it? Because it's little. to pay a holiday visit.
Little House on the Prairie.
You're likely, no, Gordy Little, you're likely to see a collection of stuffed animals posing along the fireplace hearth in our
if
living room.
If he mentions another Disney character, I'm going to kick him in his imaginary cunt.
They have batteries, too. If you squeeze a foot or a paw, they dance and sing. Our little visitors delight in listening and watching over and over again. Kay and I enjoy the outside decorations in the area and often take rides just to drink it all in. I did an hour-long TV show when the holiday train stopped in Plattsburgh and thousands came out to enjoy it. Churches and schools will have their pageants and concerts, and I know they will all be well attended. I have a very close connections with St. Nicholas and his more modern counterpart,
oh, no.
Santa Claus, and will gladly accept that awesome responsibility on several
Stop
occasions.
Stop it!
I hope you can cheerfully get past
make me hate Christmas.
What some view as card-writing, gift-buying hassles and feel as much joy and gratitude as Kay and I do this time of year. Let's all sing, Oh Holy Night, have a Merry Christmas, and please drive carefully. That's the end. Small town news. It's in the paper.
I can't handle it.
By the way, Sam, Gordy Little was for many years a well-known radio personality in the North Country and now hosts the Our Little Corner television program for Hometown Cable. Anyone with comments for him may send them to the newspaper or email him at gordandk@aol.com.
Okay, so Gordy Little
yes, that's
thinks that he's hot shit, but the reality is he's cold diarrhea.
Listen, Gordy Little, he's actually a really nice guy. He really is.
He's that guy who, for every one of his 37 motherfucking grandkids, he has another Disney Mickey Mouse head on the back window of his fucking car. He's that person who, oh my God, it's Halloween, let's go to Disneyland. Oh my God, it's Christmas, let's go to Disneyland. Oh my God, it's my birthday, let's go to Disneyland. Oh my God, someone got married, let's go to Disneyland. Fuck you, Gordy Little, in Plattsburgh, New York. You're Disney-loving fuckhole family.
Sam, I would
you,
not...
You punched a button in me, bro.
did it trigger
You're
the
bringing
band?
The demons out of me.
Trigger the band. The whole band.
Oh, my God. We hold them in our hands, see how far you can go. They keep on singing together. Them Christmas carols.
All right. That's going to do it. Everybody, thank you for
Sweet Jesus
joining
have mercy.
Us. Hey, have a Merry Christmas. Remember, the Christmas music show is coming up next week. It'll be up a day early, so you can download it on the 23rd and enjoy it.
Yeah.
With all the Christmas music that we all love. Maybe you'll hear this one. Who knows? I'll leave you this time with the Brian Setzer Orchestra. And let
Always
it snow.
A good time.
Let it snow. Let it snow. Merry Christmas, Gordy Little.
Feliz Navidad, you little shit. But God bless everyone else.
Merry Christmas, Sam.
Merry Christmas, Nate.
How I hate going out in the storm, but if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so,